Ellen White famously said, "The revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs." In the last decade, revival and reformation has become a catchphrase in Adventist circles. Many feel the need for this process to take place. But how do we go about experiencing revival and reformation as a new reality in our lives? Hi, this is Esther Lowe. Welcome to the GYC Beyond podcast. In this conversation, Janet and Jerry Page join me to share about their passion for pursuing a spirit-filled life. Jerry Page is the Secretary for the General Conference Ministerial Association and ministers to the World Church in conjunction with his wife, Janet, who is the Associate Ministerial Secretary for Shepherdess International and Prayer Ministries. Join with us as we discuss how to experience a spirit-filled life. So, hi, thank you so much for being a part of GYC Beyond and for being willing to join in this conversation. And for those who are listening in, we have Jerry and Janet Page with us. If you could open up and just let us know what you currently do and a little bit of how you got to where you are.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm Ministerial Secretary now for GYC. I used to be President of Central Cal, and there are a lot of neat things with GYC there. But Janet is an associate, and I'll let her tell you what she does.
I work with the pastor's spouses, children, and also prayer ministries.
So we travel all over the world training pastors and elders and deacons, but we love to be done. Well, conventions we get to go to them as well in Indonesia and Philippines and Europe. We've just seen GYC's influence spread so far in all these other countries and been such a blessing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining that for you, outreach and evangelism revival is an important aspect of what you work with.
Yeah. It's life.
It's changed our lives, you know. We just, our testimonies is really what we do, how God took us from typical church ministry to the personal relationship with Him being everything.
So touching on that testimony, just to help others understand how your lives are changed, if you could summarize it, how did you experience personal revival in your lives?
Mine really happened to praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like it happened because a guy teaching about praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit got people to pray for Jerry and I. And that he was a new Congress president. People took it serious to really commit to pray for their new leaders. And I never thought, big deal, so they're praying. What is that going to do? Because at that time, my life was a mess. And I really didn't even care if I lived. I was real depressed. And it just, 2 years later, these people, you know, I meet them every once in a while at a different church, and they tell me how they're praying.
Oh, wow.
And I think, well, that's nice, you know, thank you. But I didn't think much about it. But about 2 years later, just through different things that happened, God pushed me, got me to really start spending time with Him. I had given up. I got discouraged trying to spend time with God. I didn't feel like it made a difference, and I wasn't getting anything out of it. And I just felt like, you know, what's the use? I just want to go to heaven. I don't really love you, God, so what's the point? But 2 years of these people praying, I started really seeking God again and really asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life. And it's like, it took several weeks before it became meaningful. It was amazing. Just since God speaking to me through the Bible and just the whole experience, it was beautiful. And then God pushed me in to start sharing that.
Now, I was a 36-year-old conference president, one of the youngest in North America ever, I think. And a very successful ministry, but I didn't realize my wife had died by my side. So that's kind of, you know, I mean, I was praying, and I thought I was pretty spiritual, but I was not sensitive to my own family. And so then God took us both on a journey of, hey, this was about being, knowing Jesus, being filled with Him every day. And so it's been a wonderful journey the last number of years. Whatever we do, conference president or prayer ministries, women's ministries in a conference, to just focus on helping people get connected. If we're connected, all the other answers come from Him.
It's what we hear a lot lately, but it's so true. It's not just to read the Bible a little bit and to pray a little bit. It's about having a relationship with God. How the universe is pursuing us. It's incredible.
So I'm kind of hearing a theme of relationship and prayer that really changed and transformed your personal lives before it transformed your ministry.
Oh, yeah.
So
as a young person wanting to get involved more in the church or wanting to have a more personal experience of Jesus, how can I experience revival and reformation in my life? You know, and the reason I say this mm-hmm. is it's easy to go to an event like GYC yes. and you have this high and mm-hmm. then we go home and nothing much is happening. So how can I make that last?
It does really come down to a commitment of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't take quality time, quality time, to be in the Word, to be with Him, to listen as well mm-hmm. as talk, we just rush through. You know, Education 2:16-61 talks about rushing through His presence, mm-hmm. coming away with our burdens, not listening for counsel, not knowing what to do really, and it's about relationships and time with you. This is what we need. So it starts with that commitment, and we always talk about that, but life is so busy that most people are not doing it. Around the world, we go, pastors, everybody, we should be. We're so busy doing the work. You know, so busy ministering. Mark Finley told me 11, 12 years ago, he said, Jerry, all over the world, Adventists can probably work harder. We can't finish work by working harder, but we're mm-hmm. not connecting. We have to mm-hmm. connect with the power. And so we're working in our own strength and saying, wow, so mm-hmm. that's first is that. And then mm-hmm. she can talk about other things. Yes.
Well, yeah, a big part of it too then is getting involved. Mm-hmm. But getting involved in the way God leads us, mm-hmm. wants us to. And to me, it's not just, oh, how can I be involved?
Mm-hmm.
It's more of, what does God want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, if you don't get involved, you lose your desire to study the Word. You lose the mm-hmm. desire to pray. It's being involved, loving acts of kindness, service, witnessing,
mm-hmm.
drives you to the Word, drives you to God.
The time with God, the experiencing God concept of
mm-hmm.
He's always at work, and the yeah. family and the community around me, it's tempting to take what somebody else is doing as GYC somewhere else and stuff it on my territory.
Right.
But if I really take time to listen, I'll say, God, and watch. I say, God, what are you doing here? Oh, man, mm-hmm. you got this amazing thing going. I'll join you in your work instead of me plopping my work on you and asking for blessing.
Mm.
That's what we usually do in the ministry.
Yeah, wonderful. So, once again, it's this idea of spending intentional time with God and getting His vision for what He wants us to do. How about that, and you touched on it a little bit, Janet, about lack of desire entirely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially as a young person growing up in the church who's maybe second, third, fourth generation Adventist, how do I keep that spark, that interest in God, and not just, you know, become dead inside?
To me, it's pleading with God. And it's so easy when I go to read the Bible, even to this day, you go to read God's Word, it's like those thoughts come,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've read that before, you know, it's not going to do that much good, and just all these kind of thoughts. And I keep telling people those are from Satan.
Hmm.
We cannot believe those lies. God's Word is powerful. We may not sense it right at the moment, but there's something that happens to us every time we open that book. Pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us in reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to plead with God. Say, Lord, make it meaningful. Help me to get something out of this today, because right now I feel like I'm getting nothing. But to keep at it, not to give up, but that constant, you know, you hear people make jokes about this or fun of it. Oh, yeah, I got to pray. But like it doesn't really do any good.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. If we will persist
mm-hmm.
and keep after God, it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And a big thing to me is journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Not writing out long prayers. I've never been able to do too much of that. But just writing out, what is the burden on your heart, just in a sentence or two, and underline it, date it, so that
mm-hmm.
you can come back and see how God has answered.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I do that, the more I have blessings and surprises God does
mm-hmm.
that I haven't even prayed about. I may have wished in my heart, and God's just
oh, wow.
trying, you know, to answer.
So you mentioned the connection between the Holy Spirit in my life and my emotions. What's that relationship look like? Because I know sometimes you feel like, oh, well, I need to have faith, so I just kind of put my emotions off to the side. Is that what it is, or is it a bit more practical? What does the Holy Spirit do in my life emotionally?
It heals my emotions.
Hmm.
It's the Holy Spirit that comes in and changes how I actually feel.
Hmm.
if somebody says something verbally to me that really hurts,
yeah,
and you're angry, you want to lash out, and you pray, and we say, oh, yeah, we know we pray, but what good does that do? It really does make a difference if we earnestly just keep praying and praying and praying. Mm-hmm. God, I need the Holy Spirit. I need you to change me. I need you to change the way I feel right now. I cannot change the way I feel. You know, you want to kill, hate, you're just terrible. Uh-huh. But God's got the power to really come in and change those feelings. But we earnestly got to just keep praying and praying until He does.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I hesitate to even say that because so many make kind of fun of that, like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really do anything. You just got to pray. But it does. It works about it.
In Philippians 2, Paul is having this conflict in the church again. People are trying to step on each other for himself. He says, fulfill my joy by having the same love, being of one accord. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit or lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. We can't do that stuff.
No.
We can't love others better than us. We can't love those that are mean to us. But he says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. The powerful passage there about Jesus, who was God, made himself of no reputation, humbled himself to death on the cross for us, and then God exalts him. So this whole idea that the Holy Spirit coming into us is how Jesus comes in. Jesus says, better I go away, because if I don't, I can't send you the Spirit. And the Spirit is how Jesus lives in us. I don't think he's be omnipresent anymore. That's the question. But I think it's true that he comes in through the Spirit. So really what we're saying is, how can my emotions change if my mind is Jesus' mind? He actually makes me a different person, gives me a new heart, soft heart, instead of the hard heart. And when Jesus comes into me, I love like Jesus loves, and I can take abuse like Jesus, and I don't defend myself like Jesus didn't defend himself. All those things.
So is it fair to say that personal revival is really conversion?
I think so.
Awesome. So going back to, there's a book that you mentioned when you were talking about Dwight and his testimony. And what was that book? And can you tell us more about how we can get hold of that book?
It's a little 100-page book, translated out of German. It's rough in some ways, needs to be edited more even, but it's called Steps to Personal Revival. And this book came to us at the GC. We looked at it, we needed editing and all this, and it kind of got laid aside. But God has taken the fire. Holy Spirit has done it. And now 700,000 downloads, and it's still, it's a little editing done, but it being pressed through. It's just a simple 100-page book about how to pray for the Holy Spirit and what it does to our sins and to our lives and to our relationships and to working in the church and difficult situations in a church you're trying to work through. Any of that stuff, the Holy Spirit is the answer. When He comes in, our lives change. Dwight says, I'm having all these providences, all these synchronicities, it isn't coincidence, but God just all during the day is saying, look at this, bring this person, I got this for you. I believe that's what He wants for us.
Where can we get this book?
Well, you can get it on revivalreformation.org. Scroll down the first page.
There's several languages.
Yeah, it's in 29 languages.
29?
Yeah, not Holy Spirit is taking the same part. Scroll down the page, there's recommended top resources. Click on that, you'll see it there. You can also get it at info.steps2eternallife or something. You can get it from Remnant for $2 in hard copy. So, it's
awesome. Lots of places now. He's got a second one, Abide in Jesus, which is more along the same line, but even more practical in how to, values. And Remnant's now published that a hard copy, or even download it on Revival Reformation, get the electronic copy.
We have so many testimonies of lives just dramatically changed from reading that book.
That's wonderful. So you mentioned revivalreformation.org. This has a few resources or a lot of resources.
We've got hundreds and hundreds now. Melody Mason works with us halftime, you see, and she's constantly that's her job, is looking for new resources to put on Revival Reformation. So in the last year, hundreds and hundreds of new ones, lots of videos, lots of sermons, lots of books and materials. And so that's what our goal is, just to get a lot of resources for Word, prayer, witness, and spiritual revival.
Wonderful. All right, so taking back to a local church setting, what about somebody who is, they go to GYC or they go to another event, they have a revival experience, they feel converted, they have this wonderful time, and they come back and they want to make things happen in the church, but maybe the church has brought politics or something. How does someone get around difficult church situations to get things happening.
Pray. Even to know what God wants them to do. They want to do something, but what? Pray. Pray for God to show them, to open the door, but don't miss the boat if it goes by. Because sometimes we say, oh, well, we're praying. You know, it's like the guy on the roof of a house, there's a flood, and he's praying for God to save him, and a rowboat goes by and says, you want us to help you? No, no, God's going to take care of me. And then let the rowboat go by. Need to be sensitive to what God's pushing you to do. It may not be what you want. It may not be what you picture should happen. It may be something as simple as cleaning the bathrooms at the church or passing out the bulletins or whatever. But if God opens the door, step out and do it.
There's so many stories when we were in Central Canals, like as president and our prayer ministers and all. These women came to John one day and they wanted to get a message to me as the president. Get rid of our pastor. This pastor isn't spiritual. He preaches out of Reader's Digest. He doesn't believe in the sanctuary. And they're like, get rid of our pastor. She said, are you praying for pastor? And I said, well, we'll pray someday. But Janet said, I want you praying intensely for your pastor. And pray for a Holy Spirit for the pastor. It took a year or two.
3 years.
Yeah, it didn't move.
3 years.
3 years later, they came back. Our pastor, can't believe it. He's dramatically changed. He's been he's preaching on prophecy. We don't have evangelistic meetings. I mean, he's a spiritual guy now.
Coming to prayer meetings.
So again, 2 or 3 years sounds really daunting, but we have just seen it over and over again. Mm-hmm. God can change hearts. I know these elders and pastors forgive them, young people, for the way we are many times, and we are compromised many places in the church, but so are we. So esteeming others better than ourselves, respecting those in authority, even when they seem so corrupted or whatever Jesus did, others have. And so we pray for them, we work with them. Respect is important. You're trying to work with your church leaders. Don't go home, you know everything, and now you're going to be mad and you're going to criticize them and tell everybody how bad they are. Instead, treat them as Jesus would treat them. Treat them as you want others to treat you, and pray for them, and then go to them humbly and ask how we want to get things going, how can we help them, take counsel. It's hard because you want to do this and you know they're doing wrong, and they think they're compromising. I know how it is, and our churches are dead, so we're there to see. But again, if you can even get 2 or 3 to pray, Satan's whole host trembles at the sound of their prayer. I'm telling you, God can move on hearts, he can change hearts, and if not, he will change people. He will change your situation.
But it doesn't happen overnight, usually. Sometimes it can. In fact, a lot of times if we start getting together and praying, even if it's only one other person, trouble will break out.
Oh, really?
In the church. People start fighting words. Just troubles will start happening, and everybody wants to back away from praying. And why that all happens, I don't know. I think part of it is Satan's scared. He doesn't like us praying because he knows that's where the power is unleashed, so he tries to stop us. But God's allowed it. Why has God allowed it? And I'm convinced it's because God works through the trials and problems to help us to grow, to help us be more converted. And if we'll hang in there and not quit, you know, I'm finding that a lot of people, when they start reading this book, Steps to Personal Revival, usually problem happens. Trouble starts happening in their life. And if Satan's trying to stop them, but God's allowing it, why? He wants to refine our character's changes. And the biggest thing is we give up. We will keep persisting and, be open to what God... The thing about going into the church and saying, hey, how can I help what?
Right.
They may get no response. They may get a wall. It's like people are intimidated or they're afraid of their little positions or whatever. And so that doesn't always work. It's worth a try, but to pray and pray, God, if you want me to do something as church, you got to open the door.
But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have fruit. And so we can go on in our life, and as God really uses us powerfully to win a soul, to touch a heart, to do something out here, we don't have to have a position for that. We don't have to program for that. So, you know, really, if a few young people are rocking the world around this pastor, pretty soon he's going to either leave, die, or give up. You know, I mean, I love pastors and I work with them, but I know that we get cynical and we get thinking we know everything and we got to do everything. So, you know, it's hard, but when the Holy Spirit takes a hold of a person, she says there's no limit to the usefulness of one who, putting self aside, not having to be out of a big position where everybody think they're great, move forward with the Holy Spirit. She says 100 to be converted where now there's one.
It's a beautiful quote. So what about someone's trying to work in a church like that? They're praying. They experience opposition maybe and feel discouraged. what things should a person do to continue encouraging themselves, and how can we move forward without reacting and going into an extreme in one direction or the other? There's a few questions packed in that one, I guess.
Well, to me, it's again just spend more time with God, fast, pray, mm-hmm. just keep pleading with God to show you, what do I do, Lord? Mm-hmm. You see what's happening here. What do you want me to learn in this? Mm-hmm. God, and if we keep persisting and pursuing God, He is going to lead, He's going to show mm-hmm. us and break open things in ways that might totally shock you.
And real partnering, I mean, in social media and everything the way it is now,
yeah.
get one or two other people. Uh-huh. Have your heart and know what's going on. Pray much for them, for their problems mm-hmm. and your problems. And there's real support in that. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel all alone in that little church.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, if you get discouraged at all, don't just beat yourself up and think, oh, you know, I can't do this. It's not going to work. That's just Satan wants. God understands. He understands mm-hmm. us being discouraged. He understands it all. And if we just keep, you know, coming to Jesus, He will mm-hmm. encourage us and support us. Sometimes I think we make it so difficult, thinking, oh, I can't ask God to help me anymore, mm-hmm. whatever, because of the way I am. But it's not true. He wants us to keep coming to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is hard, and God understands. You know, like, I have a friend who grew up in a pastor's home, a theologian. He knew the Hebrew and the Greek backwards and forwards. He knew every detail of it. He was so good at this, he tutored.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, you know, not kids, but people in graduate school learning mm-hmm. Greek and Hebrew. And yet this man abused his daughter sexually
oh, wow.
until she hit puberty. And, you know, beat up his son a couple of times a week. And both of those kids have mental issues mm-hmm. because of it. God is, you know, working through it, but it's terrible. Mm-hmm. How can a man who knows the Bible inside and out do that to his kids? And yet, that's not the only case out there. There's mm-hmm. many. And you talk, if I talk about this in a seminar, you'll see the heads nodding. How can these people who know the scriptures mm-hmm. and all turn around and do this? But it's like Jesus talks about the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, they know the Bible and all, or the, whatever it's called then,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know the God of it. And mm-hmm. it's so important that we don't just read scripture, but that we open our hearts up. God, search me. How do I need to change? What is it I'm blind to
mm-hmm.
in my life? Because we can read and memorize and know God's word all we want, but if we're not letting it change us,
mm-hmm.
And that's the problem we have in our churches,
right.
as you know, is we got churches filled with people
yeah.
who know all our beliefs, but they're not letting it change their lives.
Mm-hmm. So, talking about change, letting the Holy Spirit change your life, letting our Bible study change our life, are there some questions that we can ask ourselves to kind of keep on check and see what state our heart is in? Is there something that we can pray specifically about?
To me, is praying Jeremiah 17:9
mm-hmm.
a lot, and Psalm 139, there where it says, "Search my heart, O God, try me,
mm-hmm.
know the anxieties within me."
We asked Mark Finley that question for our committee recently. He had seven
yeah.
questions I wish I had with me, but he basically said, "Am I growing in grace daily?
Uh-huh.
Am I still having the same sins that I fall for day after day? Am I spending time with God and my family, or am I too busy with my work and my ministry? Mm-hmm. Am I, you know, asking questions like that and like, do I love the word? Is it
mm-hmm.
joyful, or is it just to prepare for the next thing I'm going to talk about?" You know, those kind of things. You know,
mm-hmm.
Is my prayer life really growing daily? So he asks himself those kind of questions. And if you're not better than you were a few years ago or a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
then it's time to really fall on your face and say, "Lord, help me not be stale anymore and go forward." So. One of our great apostles.
Sounds very practical to me. So just in summary, I keep hearing like the same theme over and over
Sorry.
Again, and that is no. It
yeah.
sounds like it's the big thing, really, and that's prayer, prayer, and prayer. Am I right?
The Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
The Holy Spirit will show you everything you need for what you should do in ministry,
mm-hmm.
how you solve conflicts in your church and in
mm-hmm.
ministry, how you deal with people who shouldn't be where they are. All that stuff really comes back to having Christ in mind and
uh-huh.
the Holy Spirit. And so,
well, on that Revival Reformation, we get handouts that we've just stuff we've compiled called Experiencing God. And one of them is the power of the word, and the other one is hearing God's voice. But those two handouts are just something that I was led to do, just put together on points, writings and Bibles and scriptures, because I don't think we really sink in, or else we forget how powerful and healing God's word is. And these quotes really, I don't begin to have them all to be listed there, but just help to confirm to us that God speaks to us personally through His word. And it also is Jesus' very life coming into it. It changes us. We may think, what good is this doing reading about some war or killings in the Bible or Leviticus? But there's something that happens to us as we're open to God, we're praying for the Holy Spirit to lead us. It changes us. It fills us with peace and grace. And the same is the section about hearing God's voice. I never realized God really would speak to me, but He does. He'll lead and guide us.
Can you tell me more about that? How can I hear God's voice? You know, because sometimes we hear this, people talk about it, but is that like a new age experience, or is that something that's biblically based? Right.
In that handout's a quote from Ellen White saying to be careful with that because Satan can disguise himself and make us think it's God talking to us. But God never goes against His word. It's always, you know, He won't go against His word. If you get any idea, like I had a lady, I walked into her house and she said, God just told me to leave my husband this morning.
Okay.
I said, oh, really? And she said, yes. And I said, well, is he committing adultery? No, but I need to leave him because God told me that. I said, but what does the Bible say about that? You know, God didn't tell her that because God doesn't go against His word.
Right.
But there's that gray area that we don't know because, you know, it's not something against the Bible. How do you know? To me, you need a spiritual mentor in your life. For me, it's Jerry. If I weren't married to Jerry, you know, it might be some woman that I know was going to pray first, who has a relationship with God, that I can go to and say, hey, this is the idea, the thought I have. Can you pray with me about it? But God is speaking to us more than we realize, I think. In fact, I think sometimes He's yelling at us, and we're just going, oh, if I'd only see that writing on the wall. Well, He is. We just don't want to believe it. We don't want to obey it. I do think He's speaking to us more than we realize. And I don't, for me, a lot of it is through the Bible. The more I spend time with God in the Word, the more I sense that it's God speaking. Even just those impressions in your heart.
So perhaps it's a matter of tuning in, getting familiar with God's voice.
And I think often at the beginning He has coincidences happening, and timing. I mean, I'm praying today, Lord, show me how to deal with the situation. And how it comes. Just about that situation. And it wasn't written for the purpose in the beginning, but you know, okay, God, I asked you this morning, and I wanted to hear, and then boom, it's right in the face.
But, you know, the part of the reason is that as we try to eat right, well, so I won't get cancer, have a heart attack. It's not that. It's so that I can hear God's voice clearly. The reason I want to exercise, get out and walk and do stuff is so I have a clear mind, so that I'll hear God better. And the more I'm in the Word, the more I understand and know His voice. That when those quiet impressions He puts in your heart, your mind, but it's learning not just to have that time with Him every day, but abiding in Jesus all day long, to stay continually in tune with Him.
The channel's clear with your confession. Mm-hmm.
Whatever I do, I say, Lord, is this what I should do right now, or whatever? And I don't know if that makes sense. It's really confusing.
No, I'm listening, and I keep, once again, it's this theme of the Holy Spirit and keeping our hearts open through confession and through asking for forgiveness and through spending time with Him to get to know Him more. I just want to thank you so much for the time that you shared with us. And I appreciate just that reminder again to take our hearts and our lives and our problems and to center it all back on God instead of trying to deal with it in our own strength.
Well, just, you know, we praise the Lord for you, GYC leaders, and what you're doing there, because around the world, we believe God is raising up that Elijah and young people in the Father's hearts. And it's happening. We see it in so many different divisions and countries, and GYC is the important part of that.
GYC is so important. So important. It's not just going to meetings and one event a year. It is changing young people's lives.
Right.
We see so many go into leadership, ministry because of GYC.
It's true. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for spending this time with us. It is our desire that this episode has sparked a greater passion in your life for a meaningful experience with Jesus.